Blog Talk Radio.
God soldiers,
it's time to take our place as the chosen. We must bring the heat from the streets and unthaw the minds of the masses that's frozen. There's no need to carry a Mac-10 when you understand the power of the pen. This is our greatest hour. We can't be afraid to speak truth to power. It all comes down to this moment. Do you want it or do you hold it? Do you want
time is like the mind.
You can't afford to waste it.
Success is on our fingertips.
Can you taste it?
Can you
we
taste
must
it?
Face it.
We
either
must
we arise and shine,
or we complain
shine,
and die.
A nation of our own,
a nation of our own.
God didn't promise space, man. He promised land.
God didn't promise space, man. He promised land.
God didn't promise
and
space,
that's
man.
My
he
word.
Land.
The high priestess of information.
Economy.
And that's my word.
God didn't promise space, man. He promised land.
God didn't promise space, man. He promised land.
The high priestess of information.
Itani.
And that's my word.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is Conscious Conversations, and I am your host, the J2J. Today is Thursday, May the 25th, 2017. Good evening, everyone. I apologize for not coming on yesterday. I know the show must come on. I had technical difficulties with my internet service yesterday, as well as the apartment complex cut my lights off today, the whole apartment complex, and I thought I was going to have to go somewhere else, but they came back on time. So I do apologize that we didn't have an opportunity to converse yesterday. Roz is not here today. My co-host is not here today, so I will be carrying the show by myself. Today we are going to talk about blended families. I had a guest scheduled today, and we kind of had miscommunications, a real treat. So hopefully my sister will be coming on tomorrow, and I have some wonderful things lined up, the history of New Orleans and the cuisine of New Orleans and genealogy. So I really was looking forward to that today. So inshallah, I hope the sister can come on tomorrow. To all my Muslims out there, Ramadan is upon us. Ramadan starts Saturday. It is a month of holy fasting and sacrifice. You fasting strictly for the pleasure of God, giving up something that you love, staying away from eating land animals as, land animals are not permissible to us because they are slaughtered and they are not killed in the name of God, nor are they bled properly. The Muslims have what you call halal. The Jews have kosher meat. So there is a particular law, dietary law, that is set up that one must follow. And so naturally, you know, you might slip during any other times, but definitely during the holy month, you want to follow the instructions. So I am looking forward to Ramadan. It gives me an opportunity to, you know, get myself back in line, some little spiritual maintenance, become closer with the law, get my body and system clean. So, you know, it's equivalent to the Catholic's Lent. And that starts Saturday. So, again, the topic for today is blended families. The number here is 646-668-2795. Again, the number is 646-668-2795. I do hope that I have some type of rapport today as my co-host is not here. So it'll just be me basically talking, which I can do. So we're going to talk about blended families, and one of the main questions I have is, should you marry someone who has children? You know, I know a lot of single women are upset with the question. They feel that it's discriminatory, I guess. You know, I personally don't want to date now that I am a few weeks from being divorced finalized. I don't want to date someone with children. I'm just being honest. I don't want to date anyone who has children. I don't want to date you if you have adult children because they always call and asking for money. And I definitely don't want to date someone with younger children because I've done that, and I really don't have that type of time. You know, it's all right, you know, for me to spend time with my grandson and take him to Chuck E. Cheese, but I can always, you know, give him back to his mother. To date someone who has younger children, that means that you have to be more involved, you know, in terms of recreational activities, school activities, you know, just an array of things that if you're not ready for that, then you should be honest. You know, so everyone has their criteria. I personally am not dating anyone with children. You know, that's just, and I have a daughter, so somebody might not want to date me, but that's fine. I have been in relationships in which I was a step-parent. It is not easy. It's very, very, very difficult. It does not matter whether you have younger children or whether you have older children. You know, just the adjustment of a new parent coming in trying to tell you what to do. A lot of times the children are very resistant to their parent dating someone else, male or female. If the two decide to get married and you have living arrangements, you have a whole culture that has changed for that child or children. I think it's easier for younger children to adjust to a blended family than it is necessarily adolescents. And I find adults, adolescents can be very, very, very difficult. You know, they get to the point where you can't tell me what to do. You're not my parent, you're not my mom, or you're not my daddy. I have known some instances where, you know, a few people in my life whom I've known have had problems with stepchildren and they really didn't like their stepchildren. I really couldn't blame them. So I've been on many spectrums. I have been the step-parent and I have been the step-child. And my stepfather was horrible to me. I am the definition of what it is to have to be a step-child. You know, my stepfather did not like me. And if he did, he definitely didn't make it known. I was singled out. He let me know that he was not mine. I mean, that I was not his child. So now as an adult, I don't particularly care for him. I have forgiven him for whatever things I have been through in my childhood, but I don't particularly care for him, and I'm just keeping it real, you know. You know, because certain wounds just don't change, and I think that if you come into a child's life and you are that second parent, then it's incumbent upon you to bond with that child, to make that child feel comfortable and make that child feel loved. And like I said, sometimes that is not an easy transition because the child is resistant, but you are the adult. And definitely should conduct yourself, you know, as an adult and as the bigger person at all times. If you don't like a person's child and you let it show, then that's a tough situation. And as parents, you know, when you see that your child is not happy or you're in a relationship with someone and it bothers the child, then that's incumbent upon you to decide, you know, what is best. You know, I have also been in that situation and I didn't choose rightly, you know. And it has its consequences. You know, when your children grow up and they don't want to be bothered with you because they feel like you put someone before them, then that's just the lick you have to take. So this subject covers many, many, many areas. You know, it covers the perspective of a step-parent who has to deal with someone else's children. It covers the perspective of the two parents that are now joining their lives together and have to coexist and create a parenting cycle, because there will be adaptations and adjustments that need to be made. I have found that most women don't want a man telling their children what to do, particularly their male children, which is can sometimes be a problem. You know, you want the man to pay the bills. You want the man to help buy tennis shoes and, you know, buy supplies and things that they need and be there as that second parent. But then when it comes to discipline, you have a problem, and you really can't have it both ways. You know, if you're expecting a man to come in and provide that financial stability for that child where that absent parent is not, then I understand you're not wanting anybody to beat your child, but there has to be some type of discipline or some type of level of respect that is established. You know, one should never be arguing in front of the children because children can be very manipulative, and they like to play parents against one another. They like to play people against one another. You know, we've all done it as children. I can even see it in my little grandson sometimes. He'll come ask his mom for something, and she'll say no, and then he'll come back and ask me, you know. So that's just children. But There are so many questions that arise when you're dealing with blended families. And the question I'm asking is, do you think someone should date, or do you think the person who chooses not to date someone with children is wrong or discriminatory? I would like to hear anyone's take on that. The number here is 646-668-2795. Again, the topic is blended family. Should someone marry a person with children or not? Back in the day, I know men like my grandfather. He married my grandmother. She had three babies, and he built her a house, and they ended up having five more children. You know, back in the day, a man would take care of 14, 15 children. You know, some here, some not. But these days, brothers don't even want to take care of their own. So, you know, the question of blended families, a lot of women out here are single and a lot of women have children and, you know, they are looking for a partner. I think that's each person's personal decision, but there are things that need to be addressed and looked into when you're entering into new relationships and you have children that are involved. You know, a man that's getting into a relationship with a woman who has teenage children. That's a very, 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 very sticky situation. You know, you're marrying a woman or moving in with a woman who has young girls. You have to watch yourself. You know, the girls need to make sure that they're covered and conducting themselves a certain way. Women, sorry, but you have to watch who you invite into your bed, invite into your home, around your children, around your daughters, and now these days around your sons. Because these perverts are playing around with babies and molesting boys. So there are a lot of questions and a lot of challenges that blended families face, you know, building traditions and establishing discipline and establishing rapport and bonding. So, again, there's a lot that goes into getting with somebody with children. Maybe if I was younger, it would be an option for me. But going into my 50s now, it's just not an option for me. And I find that even a person who, like myself, my daughter is an adult. If I was to meet someone to date and they had adult children, well, I would be questioning even the adult children, because sometimes that can be a problem with older children constantly calling and asking for money. And, you know, I don't mind you helping out your child, but you're not going to be calling all the time, every time you turn around, asking daddy for some money, and you got a job and a man. You understand? So that's just for me. You know, I don't mind certain situations, but that's just not going to be a regular thing with you calling and asking dad for money, because you taking money out of my house, and you have a man, and you're an adult with a job. So, you know, there are a lot of questions that I have, and I would like to see how, you know, the listening audience, who normally just listens. So how do you feel about this particular subject? Again, the number here is 646-668-2795. Again, I must say that I apologize for not coming on the air yesterday. I had a lot of technical difficulties yesterday, and sometimes that can throw people off, but, you know, I do apologize. So it's kind of hard to carry a show by yourself. You know, I have to talk for a whole hour. And if I was talking about sports, basketball, LeBron James, then that would be no problem. But it definitely is hard to have a conversation when it's just yourself. But the show must go on. So I have some questions coming in from Facebook. I have some questions coming in from Facebook. I think I answered why I personally would not be in a relationship. I'm getting the question, why wouldn't I choose someone with children? It's just too much trouble for me, more drama or more than I would be willing to deal with. You know, those are questions that you first ask someone when you meet them. You know, where you're from, what do you do? Naturally, if they're single, you want to make sure that they're single. Do you have children? You ask what happened to their marriages, like, you know, certain questions that you ask. And if I find out a person has children, like I said, in this day and age for me, I really don't. I would have to really, really, I would probably go on a date with you or two, but forming a relationship, this would be hard for me. Because, again, it puts you into that role of being a parent to someone or a role model to someone who might not necessarily want that from you. Again, there are things change when you blend families together. You know, you have a higher standard of living sometimes where there was a single parent or a woman was single, and now you have additional income that come in that increases the resources, and sometimes it increases the opportunities that are available for that child. It decreases the worry and stress for that mother, or if that child is privy to the financial stability of the parent before the second parent arrived. You have children of blended families should be more adjusted to conflict resolution as they're used to negotiating a lot. Then you have the question of the exes. You know, a lot of men don't want other men telling their children what to do. So, you know, having a relationship with the other parent is key. A lot of people are not mature on that level, but I think that that's very key. When, say, like the two, the ex partner and the present, the new partner, have a relationship, at least a respectful and cordial relationship, I think that's better for the children. Sometimes it's not like that because that parent doesn't necessarily get along with the mother or the father. You know, if they're baby mama, daddy issues, as they call it. You know, what are the attitudes of the adults? Because children tend to emulate the attitudes of their parents. If the mother doesn't like the new mother doesn't like the ex-husband's new woman, then she'll turn her children against that person and make it very difficult for them to have harmony in their relationship and in their house because she's angry. And vice versa. You have men who are petty too, and they do the same thing. They don't like the new man. Or if it's a same-sex relationship and the man doesn't like it, you know, he'll spit and spew venom. So you have an array of challenges that sometimes a person might not necessarily want to deal with when you're dealing with the challenges of blended families. So again, the number here is 646-668-2795. The topic is blended families. It is a last-minute topic. As I do apologize, I had a wonderful, wonderful treat for the audience today, and inshallah, the sister will be able to come on tomorrow and share her beautiful stories and what she's doing in the community. But this topic I came up with kind of like at the spur of the moment, something that I could carry by myself. So I am hoping we get some callers in. But this is an everyday thing. You know, I have 14, 15 callers on the line and no one say anything. That's just how it normally is. So, again, with blended families, we have a lot of myths. And we have a lot of facts, you know. Like I said, adolescents, particularly those of the same sex as a step-parent, are apt to feel resentful of that step-parent. Children generally adjust better to a step-parent after the death of a natural parent than after a divorce. Following divorce, the attitude of the adults evolve, custodial, non-custodial, and step-parents will contribute significantly to the child's adjustment to a blended family. Not surprisingly, positive attitudes are more apt to result in a healthier adjustment than negative attitudes. And most blended families that report are reported as being happy. Like I said, you know, I know people who seriously love their step-parent and consider that step-parent their real parent. And when you get that type of person, when you get someone that comes into your life and has an impact on your life and you feel loved by that person sacrifices for you just as they would their own child, sacrifice their time, their money, encouraging you, you know, helping to build your mental health and happiness. You know, that matters, and that parent should be reverenced and respected. But you also have where that parent comes in and does everything that is necessary, and the child just doesn't give a damn and refuses to like the other parent or the step-parent just for their own selfish reasons or whatever reasons. And we'll resent the parent for that. We'll resent the mother or the father because they chose to bring someone else in who the child doesn't approve on. Now, let me say this, because, again, I mentioned it earlier. If you are in a relationship or have known of people who have been in relationships where, you know, the child is not happy with the step-parent, sometimes you have to deal with that because that step-parent may really truly be good to the child and really be trying to bond with that child, and that child is just bent upon, I don't like you, I'm never going to like you, you're never going to be my parent, I'm never going to look at you that way, and I'm just going to give you hell. You know, in that case, you know, I think that each parent, custodial parent, has to look at their child's attitude and know their child and know their mate. And if that mate is really trying to bond with that child, you know, making dates where they can go out and spend time for themselves, taking time to bond with that child and get to know their interests, you know, spending time with them, really getting to know them and not just being there, you know, or happening past the child. I think that makes a large difference. I think it's very incumbent upon to become involved and try to their best to create a bond because it definitely makes for a happier house. But sometimes you have situations where the step-parent just don't give a damn about the child, and when the parent is not around, they're telling that child out on the sneak. And I know this to be true because it happened to me. You know, sometimes that step-parent just is mean to you and will say jacked up stuff and really doesn't like you. And then when the parent comes around, you know, they're playing the whole, ooh, nice person, oh, they love me so much. And it's just not true. And sometimes that the real parent has a problem believing that that person that they lay with or that person that they're involved with really doesn't like their child, because when you're around, when the parent is around, they're showing something totally different. But when it's just that adult and that child, that step-parent and that child, it's a whole nother energy. So those things are very, very particular, and I think that at all times it's incumbent upon a person or a parent to make sure that their child is mentally and emotionally happy and that the environment that that child is growing in is an environment that's conducive to their mental happiness, you know. And sometimes you can't really gauge that. You have to talk to your children and ask your children straight up, do you like such and such and such? And if you don't like such and such, why? Why don't you like them? You don't like them because I'm with them and you just want me to yourself? You don't like them because they're mean to you? You don't like them because they don't take the time to get to know you personally? Ask the child, what is it that they don't like about that particular person? You know, because ultimately, you know, the parent wants to be happy, but they want their child to be happy. And, you know, when you become a parent, sometimes or most times your happiness is really secondary. And, you know, I think that sometimes we as parents, we tend to think that our children over-exaggerate and put their feelings to the side and, you know, move on with our happiness. And like I said, I have been guilty of doing that. I had an opportunity to, you know, leave and take my son back to Mississippi. There were 11 casinos. I didn't have to stay in New Orleans, but the truth be told, I wanted to stay close to the person that I was dealing with, and so therefore I did not want to leave the city of New Orleans to go back to Mississippi. And it is a decision that I will forever regret. My son is no longer here. My son did take his life. He was not happy with the fact that he had to leave his father, and he had a step-parent with his father, a Filipino woman. And they had another baby, and then, you know, you had me, who was in an alternate relationship at the time, and my son was not used to that. He was bullied by the children because his mother was gay, living a gay life, you know. So, you know, there are a lot of things that you have to take into consideration when you're dealing with and raising these babies and their mental health. I am an extremely honest and forthright person. You know, I don't hide who I am or who I was or who I'm striving to become. I have didn't have a manual on being a parenting, and there are a lot of things that I did do wrong. And so, you know, I try to hold these shows or hold these conversations like I said, conscious conversations to raise our level of consciousness one conversation at a time. You know, some people are not going to admit that they jack up as a parent, you know, that they've made mistakes. So some mistakes you can't take back. I can't take those mistakes back that I made with my son because he took his life. And that's something that I, as his mother, was responsible. I was responsible for his environment. I was responsible for his mental healthiness and happiness and his emotional well-being and happiness. And I slipped on that. You know, you have a child and your child is molested, that's on you. Because you are responsible who you have around your child. You are responsible for the people in your child's environment. You know, you are responsible for protecting your children. Some mistakes you just cannot take back. And this is why these type of conversations are very, very necessary. Again, I'm not getting any call-ins, so that's all right, too. You know, I do hope that the audience is listening and that I'm saying something that might be, you know, effective or pertinent, or that might touch you or change your opinion, or maybe you have a friend who might be going through, you know, some of these different things, and maybe this show will be important to them, because I don't like to just talk to be talking, and I don't like to talk about crap. You know, I like to talk about issues and things that really, really, really affect how we live. You know, affect our lives, you know, affect our money, how we think, how we eat, how we perceive the world, how we are perceived in the world, you know, especially as Black people. I'm sure I have a larger audience, and there are some Caucasians who do tune in, but, you know, my target audience is predominantly Black. So, you know, a lot of the issues that I deal with, I'm dealing with on the level of improving my community first and our society at large. I do care about the whole human family, but, you know, self-preservation is the first law. I care about me first and then everybody else. You know what I'm saying? So that's just the law of nature. Self first and then others. You know, so dealing with the question of blended families, let me read some more myths. Myth number one, family roles in blended families are similar to those of intact families. Although another adult can replace a spouse, they cannot replace a parent. The role of the step-parent is ill-defined and, as children often remind them, you are not my parent. While step-parents may nurture and support the children, they seldom play the role assigned to the natural parent. And that's very true. You know, seldom does this, unless they came into that child's life when that child was fairly young, like say around, you know, 8, 9, 10, maybe 2, 3, 4, you know, that time. But anytime you're blending with a family, you have teenagers, they basically, their minds already made up. And unless you, say, have a wayward child, son or daughter, and that step-parent comes in and acts as a mentor and can really gain the respect of that child and turn that child around. But in most instances, if it's older children, they're really not giving too damn about no step-parent. You're not really going to tell them much, and they're going to create as much havoc as possible. Another myth is that members instantly love each other. It took the adults in the blended family time to build their relationship, and yet there's an unrealistic expectation that the step-parent and step-children will automatically love one another. The need time to build a relationship, but even given time, there are complicating factors. Mixed loyalties present problems for many blended families. If I love my step-parent, am I being disloyal to my natural parent? Also, jealousy of step-siblings and step-parents is often the problem that must be addressed prior to the development of a functional family. Now, I knew of a blended family once where the step-parent really did treat their children better than they did their step-children. And I think that's jacked up. You know, if you're going to go out to eat and you're going to boil me some hot dogs and some corn, boil my children some hot dogs and some corn, but take your children out to eat, you understand? That's the type of stuff right there that would cause me to say, you know, I'm going to have to deal with you differently. If you go buy my child some Busters, but buy your child a pair of Nikes, There's a problem with that. There's a problem with that. You know, you have to be fair and equitable because the children are watching and they're judging. So if they don't respect you, it's because you don't treat them right. You know, you're not treating them right to gain their respect. And that's just how it is. You know, you're the adult. You have to be equitable. You know, you're responsible for how that you're shaping that person, how they see the world. And you're in a relationship with their mother or their father. You know, you should love them or try to be as fair as possible. But everybody's not the same. Like I say, I know some step-parents that ain't shit. Excuse the profanity, but they're not. And I don't see how the mate or the spouse or the partner can stay with them. But sometimes, like I said, people put their own sexual needs or their own codependency needs above the needs of their children. And then when their children become adults and don't give a damn about them, well, then they're mad. But you brought that on yourself, you know. So, again, the topic is blended families. The number here is 646-668-2795. We're 30 minutes into the show and have not yet had a caller. I guess people just don't want to respond or call in, but that's cool. Next week I do have a much more interesting array. I have a lot more guests coming on next week. I'm trying to confirm at least two great guests next week. I have Brother Talib coming on, inshallah, next week. My sister Shawanda. I think I do hope to have much more interesting topics. This one, like I said, this subject right here, I was in a conversation with someone, and they told me they really don't like their stepchild, you know. And that's just that's so deep to me. I have several stepchildren whom I love dearly, and even though I'm no longer in relationships with the parent, I still have and hold the relationships with the children. I think it's jacked up for you to come into a child's life and be a part of their life and then just remove yourself because the relationship is over. It's almost like you abandon that child, especially if that child, you know, has grown to love you and look up to you. And because you can't deal with the adult, you just say, screw the child. It's a horrible collateral damage, but it happens, and that's just how it is. I mean, if it's happening right now to my grandson, you know, he had a grandfather and now he doesn't. You know, but, you know, that's just life. I personally, like I said, I maintain the relationships with the children who I help to raise. I love them and they love me. If they need me, I'm coming. If they need money, I'm giving it. If anything happens to them, you know, sick, graduations, life milestones, I am there. But that's just me. But everybody is not like that. Sometimes when people in relationships, they just completely close it down and move on. And some people do that with their own children, which is even sadder. But that's just the nature of people. You know, loyalties to children should not wane based upon the condition of the adult's relationship. But, you know, just like I feel that people who are divorced and have children, you should be able to get along for the sake of the children. Put aside your petty little differences, you know, so that the children can see you interacting, or you can be invited to events that the child is having and not have havoc, or I'm not coming because I don't like her, or I don't like who she with. You know, it has nothing to do with the child. Some things you should be able to grow past and rise above your emotions. And a lot of people are not able to rise above their emotions when it comes to dealing with exes or past relationships. Or, you know, their spouse is dealing with someone new. You know, they don't want them around their child, or, you know. So it's a lot of different aspects to this particular challenge of blending families together. So with that, I think I'm going to end the show early today. I'm not getting any caller participation, so it's only so much I can say. When I'm talking by myself, I can read some more facts, but there are a lot of statistics. Everything is not so peachy cream as the Brady Bunch, you know. It's not TV. It's not storybook endings all the time, you know. There are real challenges that exist when you are trying to blend two separate families together. And I think that the parent has to work a lot harder to win over that child. It can be done. But then, like I said, sometimes that other parent, particularly women, have to step out of the way. If you have a male child and he's not used to having a male present, especially a strong male dominant present, and then a strong man comes in and he wants to be that father figure, and you're interfering because every time he says something to the child to get them on a straight path or do whatever, you got some lip. And then when that child ends up in jail and you looking at the stepdad, well, don't blame him because he tried. And every end, you were blocking him. So that's on you. That's your fault. And I do find that, and I'm going to have a show on that, that a lot of women today pacify these boys and pacify, they can't grow up and to be men because they're raised by women and they're pacified and the women are taking the mothers and the grandmothers are taking care of them and doing everything for them. And there aren't any strong men that are present. So like I said, you're a single mother and you meet a man, he comes in and he tries to be that for your child. You can't interfere, sister. I can understand you not want somebody to put their hands on your child, and you know, but boys have to be raised a certain way. And I'm not just at the mindset that, yeah, as a woman, you can give a man all the knowledge, a little boy, all the knowledge that he needs. I can give my grandson all the knowledge of self and who he is, as far as our bloodline, how to be mannerable, teach him about nutrition and how to manage his money. But what I cannot do is teach him or show him how to be a man. I can read some books, but it's almost like they need that example, whether it's a coach or a stepfather or a father or an uncle. They need that example, that walking and living example in that life, that they need that. And that woman should be able to call that coach. You know, once these boys get a certain age, they like 14, 15, 16, you really can't tell them much. And if you don't have that strong male figure where you can call and say, look, come over and handle him because he's getting out of hand, then, like I said, these days, these boys, these children, they're different. They're very different. So, again, I do thank my listening audience for tuning in every day, for tuning in when you can. This right here is my passion. I've always wanted a talk show. I'm thankful to Allah for the technology that will allow me to do that. So, you know, I would talk to myself if I could. Like I said, it's very difficult when you don't have someone to kind of like bounce off of or spar off of. I guess the topic is not as interesting. But then I had the topic on molestation and nobody talked either. Nobody chimed in. Just sometimes people would rather listen than talk. And that is okay too. So again, a lot going on in the world, a lot going on in the news, you know, just a matter of doing what's best for our families, doing what's best for our children, and, you know, doing what's best for ourselves, you know. I do hope everyone tunes in tomorrow. I am praying for more audience participation. I guess I'm going to have some more interesting topics or pose my topics more as questions. I am open to suggestions. I can be reached on Facebook at Jada, J-A-D-A, and J, J-A-E, Jada J. My Twitter account is Conscious J. Hit me up on Twitter. Hit me up on Facebook. We have a newsletter. We have an urban newsletter that comes out monthly, and we do advertisements. Now, we can advertise your business card. We will put your business card in the hands of 1,000 people for the low price of $45. You can call me at 504-342-8970, or you can call Brother Roosevelt at 504-352-3579. We have business cards for 500 business cards for $45. We have 5,000 full-color 4x6 flyers for $375. 2 magnet car signs for $45, 12 t-shirts with logo for $96, or you can get 100 CDs printed in dubs for $75. We also have a lawn care service called One Love Lawn Care. We do mow yards for $30. So please do business with us. Again, if you would like some advertising, please call us, and we'd be more than willing to get your business card. You can email it to us, or we give us your logo. We create T-shirts and any type of thing, any printing that you need, we can handle it. So logo setups for $35. You can get 12 T-shirts for $96. Just call us at Young Professionals. We're located at 6904 Dowman here in the city of New Orleans. That's 6904 Dowman Road, 70128. Just trying to not only provide our people with a service that's necessary, but also when you advertise in our newsletter, the Young Professionals Urban Newsletter, when you advertise in that, we have our young entrepreneurs who we pay them 3 cents per flyer that they hand out. So again, like I said, we can put your business card in 1,000 people's hands. Just let us know how we can be of service to you. And again, those numbers are call Brother Roosevelt at 504-342-3579 for the yard care service. That's 504-405-0108. Or you can call me at 504-342-8970. Again, that's Young Professional Entrepreneur Boys and Girls Club, and we're located on 6904 Downing. Ladies, I am having a special dialogue and dinner for sisters. It will be our sister-to-sister talk. Hope the subject, I think, will be knowing your wealth, knowing yourself. We are planning it for June the 15th, we have a wonderful menu that is planned. We will have dinner. We will have a few speakers, a little poetry. It is an all-female event, all-women's event. Sisters, come out. Call me and inbox me for tickets. Tickets are $20. The proceeds will go towards the Young Entrepreneur Professional Boys and Girls Club. I am trying to establish the Goddess by Nature sister circle, but we're doing a fundraiser because we have some things that we're trying to put on and some things that we want to get accomplished, and we're not for begging. You know, we don't beg anybody. We got products to sell. Have a dinner. I'm going to feed you very well. I'm going to have entertainment and have a few speakers. It'll be a night of, you know, we're going to pray together. Actually, you know, it's necessary that when we come together, we open up in prayer so that we can invite the Spirit of God in. He says, wherever there are two or three among you, there I am also. So, I mean, hopefully it'll be a night of bonding, beautiful conversation, wonderful food, maybe a little music. But this will be June the 15th. That's on a Thursday, June the 15th from like 6 to 8 o'clock. If you want tickets, please inbox me at J2J, that's Facebook, or hit me up on my email, which is New Leaf Agenda, that's N-E-W-L-E-A-F Agenda, @gmail.com for information or for tickets. The tickets are $20, but like I said, I'm going to have a wonderful meal, wonderful entertainment. I have some other little things to set up, door prizes. I just want a wonderful night where the sisters can bond and we can have a wonderful conversation, bonding experience. I think it's necessary right now. So save that date. That date is June the 15th. That's on a Thursday. I have my sister, Keon, who will be, Desiree, who will be doing the catering and the decoration. She's a wonderful event planner. If you need it, she did my wedding. This sister is on her. She's on her game. So I'm sure that this night is going to be very, very beautiful and elegant. That's what I'm hoping for. So, again, save that date. That's June the 15th. If you cannot attend, please buy a ticket and donate, you know, or buy a T-shirt. Hopefully my album will be ready to disseminate. I do have an album coming out called Rebel Rouser. We also have a community CD that we're pushing. I have incense. We have oils. We have bath gels. We have T-shirts. There are many applied. We have detergent, soaps. So there are many things that you can. We don't, like I said, we're not into the begging thing. We don't beg people for money. But we do have a product that we can sell, and we hope that you do support. And with that being said, you know, I think that's today's show. I think that's today's show. Again, I appreciate everyone who listens because I know that my audience is expanding. I didn't come on yesterday, and I got a barrage of calls for people who were like, why you didn't come on? Why you didn't come on? So, you know, even though I'm here having a conversation with you and not getting any report back, it's still necessary for me to give you the information and just give you my views and my opinion on things. Please call, tune in tomorrow. Next week will be much more interesting as I will have a special guest. I hope to have at least 3 to 4 special guests next week to call in. I have some things that really planned. But again, look forward to that date, June the 15th, 2017. That's on a Thursday, our sister-to-sister talk, knowing your worth and knowing yourself. So with that being said, thank you all for listening. I appreciate you, and I hope that something that I said has touched you, caused you to think or question your regular views or just question anything. We're in an age where everything must be questioned. You just can't take things at face value. So with that being said, Rosyland, I miss you. Brother Roosevelt, Nabi, Sister Gadira, where y'all at? I miss y'all. Anyway, audience, love y'all. Y'all take care and be good to each other.